Welcome to another episode of Commission Chats. I'm your host, John Scapini. Commission Chats is a podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the U.S. Sentencing Commission. Today, we're kicking off a new series of episodes that will follow one of the many policy teams working on the Commission's priorities this amendment year. Policy teams include lawyers, researchers, educators, and others on staff who come together for one or more years on a particular policy area. The teams address any questions or concerns raised by the commissioners, and their work often requires special research projects and discussions with external subject matter experts. It'll be a very special series of episodes as we shadow the Alternatives to Incarceration policy team as they venture out and gather information from federal judges on the problem-solving courts in their districts. Our first guest is Judge Phil Restrepo, a U.S. Circuit Judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit and also Vice Chair of the U.S. Sentencing Commission. But first, joining me today to help kick off this new series is Lori Baker, a trainer in the Office of Education and Sentencing Practice at the Commission. Lori, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
Lori, tell me more about the policy priority that you've been assigned to and sort of the work that we'll get to follow along with through the episodes.
So I'm one of four Commission staff members assigned to the Alternatives team. We each hail from a different office here at the Commission, so we bring varying perspectives and expertise.
Okay.
If you're not familiar with the term Alternatives to Incarceration, or what we call ATI for short, we're talking about either front-end diversion programs or reentry programs. The commissioners have asked us to collect information on these problem-solving courts.
Can I ask you a stupid question?
Sure you can.
So what do you mean by problem-solving courts? Is that like improving their efficiency?
Not exactly. Maybe think of it like court-sponsored programs that problem-solve.
Okay.
So currently there's not a whole lot known about the admission criteria for these types of programs or how they measure success. There are two types of problem-solving courts. There are front-end programs which allow individuals facing a conviction and sentence to have their sentence diverted if they meet certain criteria. Some of these programs allow for an individual to avoid a conviction altogether, and others allow an individual to avoid serving a term of imprisonment.
Okay, so that's where the alternatives part comes from.
Right. So the same is true for reentry courts. Reentry programs offer support for certain groups of individuals when they're returning to the community after they've served a term of imprisonment.
Okay, you're right. Courts that problem solve, that's not going to catch on.
No, it's not really very catchy, so we're going to stick with problem-solving courts for now. But as I was saying, the commissioners have asked us to collect and distribute information on these programs, and they want to make this information widely available. This podcast series is going to serve as one part of our effort to share information we receive as we receive it.
Okay. So my understanding, this sort of like real-time, behind-the-scenes look at policy teamwork, that's sort of unusual for the commission?
Well, I guess it sort of is. But the team's work is really an expansion of the commission's function as a clearinghouse of information on federal sentencing practices. So we've been working on a number of ways to collect and share information on what you now know are called problem-solving courts.
Thank you.
We'll use these podcast episodes to spotlight one program at a time. We're going to talk to the key players of those programs and get information on best practices that they're using to develop and execute and even evaluate those programs.
Okay. To quote our boss, that sounds fantastic. Well, we better get to it then. If you're ready, I'll hand the mic over to you, Lori, to take on the role of Commission Chats host for these episodes. Just please take care of it. I brought it from home.
Wow, I'm honored, John. I know it's hard for you to share the mic. Now, if you're a federal judge or other member of the court family interested in diversion, alternatives to incarceration, or reentry programs, stay tuned. Today I'm visiting with our very own Vice Chair of the Commission, Judge Phil Restrepo of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, formerly a district judge for the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. We're going to learn more about the Supervision to Aid Reentry, or STAR program. This program began in 2006 and focuses on individuals in the city of Philadelphia with a significant risk of recidivism and history of violent crime. Good afternoon, Judge Restrepo. Thank you for being with us today.
Good afternoon, Lori, and thanks for having me.
So you're the first guest of our new podcast series on problem-solving courts. Can you tell us a little about yourself, how long you've been on the bench, and how you first became involved with problem-solving courts?
Sure. So I've been on the bench since June of 2006. I started as a United States Magistrate Judge then. The program we're going to talk about started in the later part of 2006. I joined the program in the early part of 2007. It's referred to as STAR, which is Supervision to Aid Reentry. We also refer to it as our reentry court in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania.
Okay, so how did you first become involved with the court?
I was asked to do it. The Board of Judges in the EDPA came up with the idea to do something about gun violence and recidivism in Philadelphia. Tim Rice, Magistrate Judge Tim Rice at the time, was the first judge they asked to participate. About 6 months later, they wanted to expand the program, so I was approached by the judges, and I was asked to run a parallel court on a different date and a different time with the same objective.
I see. So you were asked to be involved with the program, but what motivated you personally to work with a problem-solving court?
Well, it's one of the few ways, really, I thought as a judge I could make a difference in individual people's lives. I liked the concept of the program. I had been involved in the community in Philadelphia for many years before I was a judge. I was there as a public defender in both the local and federal courts and in private practice. I'd done a lot of community outreach, and I thought this would be a nice way and one of the few ways I could continue to do that sort of work as a judge.
Okay, great. What can you tell us about the STAR program?
It's kind of a unique program in that we identify folks with a high risk of recidivism that have violent criminal histories, that have served significant jail time or prison time in federal custody, and these folks were coming home to Philadelphia.
We've got some tough individuals coming back to the community.
I wouldn't know if they're tough individuals. They're individuals that have served significant jail time with violent criminal histories,
yeah.
And they're coming home to Philadelphia, and we wanted to help them reestablish themselves as citizens.
So what is your role with the program as a judge?
It's multifaceted, but the way it works, I guess this is probably the best way to explain it from like a boots on the ground perspective. Every other week on Tuesday mornings, I meet with a group of folks that include the supervising probation officer, the supervisor is my cadre of participants, a U.S. attorney assigned to the group, federal defender assigned to the group, many volunteers, many law clerks. We have programs with Temple, with Penn, with Rutgers, with a lot of different universities in the area, Drexel. And we all gather in my office. The night before, I receive a report written by the supervising probation officer that summarizes each participant's activities over the previous 2 weeks. If there are any issues we need to address, we address them. We talk about how we can help this individual reintegrate successfully to the community. On occasion, we do have to sanction folks, and we do this by way of a consensus model. I always speak last because I don't want folks to agree with me just because I'm the judge in the room. And it's worked well, and we have both incentives and sanctions at the end of the day. They're both two sides of the same coin.
Okay. You mentioned other people in the court family who are involved with the program and some of your community partners. You have a lot of community partners who work with the program, right?
Yeah, let me start with we have a lot of participants or volunteers from the court family. We have folks from the Circuit Executive's Office that have volunteered to offer tutoring services for the CDL and most recently for the civil service exam to get jobs in the city of Philadelphia. We have law clerks that volunteer helping our participants access benefits, reviewing their resumes. We have a large cadre of lawyers that have volunteered to supervise law students to represent our participants in collateral type issues in the different courts in the city. We have cognitive behavioral therapy offered by way of Drexel University. We have financial literacy programs available through the Temple Fox School of Business. Those are just some of the examples of our both community partners and court family that have volunteered.
That's great participation, and I would guess you've expanded that participation over time, right?
100%
Since you've
accurate.
Been working with this program for so long, you've been able to identify particular needs and reach out to the community to meet those needs.
100% accurate. It's an organically grown program over the many years we've been doing this, and when we do identify a need, we brainstorm and try to find a solution.
Tell me a bit about the successes of the program.
Well, it's it's tough to measure success. I mean, we've tried to measure success empirically, and we have some statistics to support the proposition that the program is working. Many years ago, a young PhD student was looking for a dissertation topic. We needed some statistical evidence to suggest that this program is working. So she culled the numbers, and over the many years we've been running this program, our revocation rate is significantly lower than the district and the national mean revocation rate for folks that are similarly situated in terms of their prior criminal history. So it seems to work. It saves the taxpayers an awful lot of money, in that it costs, as you know, it costs a lot of money to incarcerate somebody. Right. And then you have the collateral benefits in terms of family relationships, civic engagement, and the reintegration of the individual to being a productive citizen in Philadelphia.
So in addition to seeing those reduced recidivism rates, you can see a lot of positive benefit within the family and the community.
Absolutely. Most importantly, family members and participants in the community. And we've been fortunate in that we've been able to identify a lot of employment opportunities. We've also been able to identify and resolve housing issues. We have a great partnership with the Philadelphia Housing Authority, which started several years ago when we approached the board asking them to provide us with Section 8 scattered site housing vouchers. They initially gave us 10. Right now we have 30 at our disposal to help our folks find housing when they do come home. It's a great resource. We've been very fortunate in our relationship with PHA.
So what are some of the challenges that you face with your problem-solving court?
I think among the challenges we face is a lot of folks come home and they want to do everything very quickly. And so you have to temper their expectations. Another challenge is family reunification issues. It's an issue we have not found a solution to, so to speak. And a lot of these folks have very strained family relationships when they come home, particularly with their children. And we've tried and we will continue to try to find the better resources for that. Employment is obviously a challenge, and we always have to be on the lookout to find folks that are willing to take a chance, so to speak, or are willing to offer our participants an opportunity. And unfortunately, some of these folks do recidivate. We have had some incidents that have been rather regrettable, but you can't let that deter us from going forward.
Sure. Well, and from what you're telling me, you have a high number of successes for you to balance.
Our successes, right? Our successes outweigh the frustrations. Sure. Absolutely.
You mentioned earlier how you became involved in the program and you felt it was an opportunity for you to really benefit the system. What would you say you enjoy most about your involvement with the program?
I think what I enjoy most is the relationships I've been able to build with the participants, because I see them on a very regular basis and I try to get to know them, find common ground. And there's a good bit of satisfaction when not just me, but the whole group or the team really works together to try to help folks successfully reenter, which is much more challenging than I had originally imagined.
Right. So you said a lot of people come to visit your program to see what you have going on in Philadelphia. What advice do you have for people who may want to start up a reentry court in their district?
To be patient. This doesn't happen overnight, and don't let the frustrations get you down, because it can be very frustrating. And one thing I really emphasize when people come to visit is don't make any promises you can't keep, because you lose a lot of credibility. In other words, if you tell a participant, I'm going to help you find housing, or I'm going to help you find a dentist, or I'm going to help you with a medical appointment, you have to deliver. And if you make promises you can't keep, you not only lose credibility with that participant, but with everybody in the room that here's the conversation you're having with that participant. So that's really important.
Yeah, that's great advice. Well, I appreciate your time and meeting with me today. Is there anything else that you want to tell me about the STAR program?
Sure. I would encourage folks to reach out with any questions or concerns they might have. I'm easy to find. You can reach me by way of the Sentencing Commission. And I would encourage everybody to take a look at this wonderful resource the Sentencing Commission is putting together on alternatives to incarceration. You have a map of the United States with the different districts. If you go to the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, in the not-too-distant future, there'll be a good number of documents there that have more information about the STAR program.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing all that information with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks for the time.
For those listeners who are searching for more information on starting an alternatives program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at ussc.gov. If you hover over the Education tab, you will see a link to Problem Solving Court resources. We have an interactive map and a number of other items like statistical information that can get you started on your research into alternative courts. We're updating this page regularly, so please check back frequently to see what else we have to offer.